This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. I hope you're having a great day. The general at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control. Woolchuck is here. He's in studio. Eric Chiafalo is off this evening. He had morning show duty. Salute to everybody that came by the Denton Firehouse there and picked up their a Whataburger G-Bag Nation flag. Next week, we'll be at Richardson Bar and Grill on East Campbell Road on Thursday, 2 to 7. And then Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie, KMC Masterpiece, and G-Bag next week. So you have a nine-hour window. Your next chance to pick up a G-Bag Nation flag there, two of them next week. Joining us now, the two-time Lone Star Emmy winner, the NFL analyst, DallasCowboys.com, NFL Network. It's Isaiah Standback here, former Cowboys receiver here in the nation. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
We're doing great. So how is it working with Good Morning Football? Do you like those guys?
Yeah, man, it's been absolutely awesome. They've welcomed me into the fam, and I've had opportunity to be down there pretty much every week since earlier in the season. And it's been a great opportunity, man. Loving it up.
So what do you think about the opportunity ahead of this football team at the bye week? Are they critically damaged? Can they pull off like a post-bye week rally, or are they a DOA starting next week in San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, they're not critically damaged. When you say critically damaged, I think about, you know, the finishing portion of Mortal Kombat when guys are sitting up there standing up woozy.
Finish him!
They're not at that point by any means, but you know, there's a reality check that has to be had. And, you know, I think this bye week, you know, originally when I saw the schedule, I thought the bye week was too early. But this, it couldn't have came at a better time because this team has to figure out exactly who they are right now. They are a 3-3 team that's lost three games to some really good teams outside of obviously the Saints, which I don't know what the heck's going on with them right now. But, you know, this team doesn't really have an identity. And I think that's the thing that worries me most right now about this team. I know a lot of people are pressuring, you know, Double J and Mr. Jones about personnel and things of that nature, and every team has areas that they wish that they can have better personnel or more success with certain personnel groupings. But this is a roster that has a lot of talent. These guys know what the heck they're doing. This is all about execution, man. These guys have to figure out how to execute. The coaches have to do a better job. I think offensively, Coach McCarthy has not necessarily gotten in his bag the way in which I would like for him to. He hasn't gotten as creative as we've seen him be in the past, so I would like to see him get to that. Coach Zimmer, I think you're still, you know, the scout report's still out on him. You know, like what exactly is this defense? You know, if you had to put your finger on one aspect of this defense that you know is going to show up, I'm not sure that anybody could point that out, and that's worrisome. In the past, the Dallas Cowboys defense has been turnover magnets. That's what they've done. They've turned the ball over. You know, they forced, you know, a lot of interceptions in the past years. That's not even happening right now. So I think, you know, the one true thing that you know about this team right now is that you have a really good return game and you have an amazing field goal kicker. But outside of that, I think you're trying to figure out exactly who you are as an organization.
Isaiah, you've done an awesome job with the film breakdowns along with our buddy Kyle Yeomans. I wonder your thoughts on what Troy Aikman had to say regarding the route running for the receivers. CeeDee Lamb, he also called out there. But what do you see when you're watching this, the route combinations and the route trees from the Cowboys wideouts?
Yeah, I think the concepts are a little repetitive right now. And you can say that about any team, really. But I just think the way in which, you know, I think Coach McCarthy, Schottenheimer, those guys, how they're getting guys open right now, I think they can just be more creative. I think that, you know, some of the stuff that you're seeing, like with those red zone turnovers, between the miscommunication between CeeDee and Dak, Some of that is contributing factors of simplified concepts. You know, this is a West Coast style offense that Coach McCarthy runs that a lot of teams do. But at times, you know, during the season, you have to find ways to get to these concepts. You know, it allows these simplified concepts, allow your players to play fast, allow for them to not have to think as much. But sometimes when the defense has your numbers, okay, now it's like, all right, let's mix up the personnel. Now let's do some shifts. Let's do some pre-snap motions. Let's mix up what it looks like so it doesn't show up what it looks like on film the week before, and we can make predictions and we can now jump routes and concepts and things of that nature. And I think that's exactly what they're dealing with offensively right now. When you start talking about specifically the routes that are being ran and how they're being ran, I mean, I'm always going to be, you know, in a position where I can say, yeah, they should be running more effective, more efficient routes. Yeah, I think you can point the finger at any organization to say that. And I just think that these guys have to be put in a better position. And then, yeah, their execution of what they're being asked to do on the field has to be better. And I think that every man that touches that field right now would have to say that about themselves.
Isaiah, is it maybe this team at wide receiver, they don't have good route runners? Is it, you know, maybe physically and with the way that these guys are, maybe they're built a little bit, maybe don't have the guys that have the quickness or, you know, have the ability to make the cuts or to plant the foot and get inside and stuff. Is that something that you think might be the factor, or they're more than talented enough to do this?
No, they're more than talented. I mean, CeeDee Lamb's a really good route runner, again, but you have to – you know, this league has evolved, man. And what you're seeing right now is these defenses are getting more complex. They're getting smarter. You know, some of the turnovers that we've seen down in the red zone, you know, these are actually super basic coverages, but guys are being allowed to play two guys defensively. They're allowed to come up and play the short route, you know, like in the flats, and then they're allowed to sink and take away the corner routes if you've seen CeeDee Lamb try to get to, and those have resulted in interceptions. And I just think that these guys, regardless of how good you are, it doesn't matter what level of football you're playing, sometimes you just have to be put in a better position to be successful. And that's not always going to be the case with just lining up and running your route. You know, there's only so many routes you can run. And, you know, based upon what's being called by your coach, if I have a corner route and I'm just standing in the same place the whole time, defense is probably going to pick up on that from week to week. You know, so, you know, you might want to start me on one side and just do a pre-snap shift. All those shifts and pre-snap motions, that all that stuff is not just guys moving around. That's information. That's information for the guys that are out there at the skill positions that are going to be receiving the ball. That's information for Dak. That's going to put him in a better position for protections. It's going to help him understand, is this man, is this zone, all the coverage indicators. So I just think that some of those things have to take place to help these guys out. It is not about an inability to run routes. CeeDee Lamb's obviously the top three receiver. You know, you're talking about Brandon Cooks hasn't been out there, obviously, but he's a really good route runner.
He's one of the
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His best route runners in the game. Jalen Tolbert still figuring himself out. Is he a possession receiver? Is he a big receiver? Is he a red zone receiver? He's trying to figure it out. Kevontae Turpin's one heck of a route runner. He's great at the release point. He's great running routes. He just has to continue to get more opportunities to receive the ball to build his confidence so that he can be a threat as a slot option for those guys. But all these guys are fully capable. It's just a matter of the position they're in and then taking advantage of opportunities when they present themselves.
It's Isaiah Standback here with you on your home of the Cowboys. Who do you like as far as coaches or play designers out there? Is there an offensive mind that you would want to steer the conversation towards if the Cowboys do, in fact, make a change to the coaching staff?
I don't want to point the finger at anybody specifically. I mean, there's a lot of creative play callers right now. And I think that, again, the guy that's in that building right now, Coach McCarthy and Schottenheimer, both of those guys are fully capable. So I can easily point at the McVays. I can easily point at Ben Johnson, all these kind of guys. I can point at those guys all day long and talk about how creative they are with their play calling. I just think McCarthy has to get to his bag earlier. Just as a fair comparison, when Kellen Moore was in the building, Kellen Moore did a lot of really good things in terms of putting guys in position to be successful, but he would always use an analogy of, you know, emptying your toys out from Christmas a little bit too early. You know, you get all your Christmas presents, and you get them all in the bag, and you go in the middle of the floor, and you dump them all out, and it's like, oh, I can see everything, I can play with everything, and it's fun. But now there's no more surprise factor because everything's out there. You know, I think it's the opposite right now with Coach McCarthy. He has all those things in his toolbox, but he has to start letting those things out so that we can go ahead and have some success offensively.
Do you think scheme or talent's the bigger issue?
I think it's a combination of both. I don't want to say it's talent. I think it's execution. I really think it's execution, and I think you can't just point at one position. I think collectively all the positions in totality have to do a better job. I mean, even if you had the routes that were, you know, being ran, you know, at the top 5% of the NFL, do you have the time right now? No, the offensive line hasn't been playing as a unit. You know, you're getting a lot of pressure on Dak. You know, Dak does a great job versus pressure, but that's not necessarily what you want. And even if you had, you know, the time that Dak has had, right? Dak has been leading up to, I think, last week, this offensive line was providing Dak the most time at the quarterback position to actually get the ball off and can't find nobody open. You know, you're starting to get coverage sacks. So, I mean, this is everybody's responsibility. It's just everybody, man. You can't just point at one position. O-line's not doing great. Receivers aren't doing as good as they can. Dak's missing opportunities. You think about the opportunity Zeke had out in the flat. You know, he missed some opportunities there on wide open plays. So everybody is missing. It just seemingly happened all at the same time.
Do you feel like, speaking of time, do you feel like experience will solve the majority of the issues, or do they have a multi-year rebuild back to contender status as far as personnel goes?
I think the personnel is actually relatively okay. I mean, the one area that I would say that personnel wasn't really addressed would be that you would like to have seen a greater improvement, I guess, in personnel this offseason would be the interior D-line. And I think everybody and their mama could have said that, right? But that's just one area. I mean, obviously you're able to pick up some guys, and going to training camp and coming out of training camp. But other than that, I mean, the offensive line, you got, what, 3 first-rounders on the offensive line? I mean, yeah. you invested there. You know, you talk about the receiver position. You have one of the best receivers, top 3 receivers in the game. You're good there. You talk about your tight end position. You got one of the league's best tight ends, and you drafted a guy in the second round at tight end as well. So you have good guys there. Running back room, that's the one area that you didn't splurge. You know, quarterback, you know, highest paid quarterback in the league. So offensively, yeah, we've invested there. Defensively, you have 2 all-pro corners. Obviously, one of them is just now about to get back on the field, but you have 2 all-pro corners out there. You have Jordan Lewis, who's one of the most underrated slot defenders in the league, right? You took a shot at Caitlin Carson, and you seemingly hit. You know, everybody calls him Seatbelt. I call him 5-point harness. You know, he's doing pretty good. You know, so you got 4 bona fide cornerbacks out there that can go out there, and you confidently feel like these guys can play man-to-man defense. Linebackers, you know, one of the best linebackers to have played the game over the last decade, Eric Kendricks, when he's out there. You got some speed. So, I mean, nobody could have predicted you're going to lose 4 of your defensive ends. Like, that's just not something you draw up on the play sheet before the season happens. So there's talent, right? So everybody, you know, everybody comes at Double J, and obviously he's the guy who's in charge of it, you know, but what him, Will McClay, and that scouting department did in terms of putting talent on the field, they have done that. They've done that, but like I said, they have to call the games better, and guys have to execute better. It feels like it's a crap show right now, and it has looked like it for sure. They've gotten their butts kicked a handful of times this year, but the reality is they're 3-3, right? As bad as it feels, this thing can turn around, and this is a game of confidence. And I don't care what level of sports you're at. If you're not playing with confidence, you're not going to win many games. So that's the aspect of this game that has to be addressed.
Last one before we let you out of here, Isaiah. Got to ask you about your Washington Huskies, and have you gotten used to this Big Ten schedule?
No, it's a Big 17 or whatever it is right now. I don't know what this is. I can't keep up. The Huskies, I've been trying to keep up with them. Obviously, they had a big win against Michigan at the house, which was awesome. Wish I could have been there for that. But that's a program right now that just doesn't have the players to compete in that conference right now. Obviously, we went to the national championship last year, but the game has changed in college football. And, you know, recruiting is – it's not just about recruiting anymore. Now it's about how much money your collective has. And the reality is, you know, our collective is going to have to put together a bunch of money. All those big-time, you know, Fortune 500 companies that we have out in Seattle, the Boeings, the Starbucks, the Microsofts, the Expedias, the Googles, all those companies got to put some money in the pot and make some contributions so that they can go out and recruit the type of players that they need to compete at that level.
As a Seattle guy, if you were going into college now, do you think you would stay all 4 or 5 years? Or would you be moving around with all this transfer window stuff?
You know, I'm not a transfer guy. I am not a transfer guy. I am so committed, right? I'm a team player. I'm always going to be committed to an organization. But I could tell you what, my value would have been a lot higher now than it was back then, because dual threat quarterbacks weren't necessarily the thing when I was coming out, and now everybody wants one.
Well, I was covering the Pac-10 when you played, man. You were a lot of fun to watch. Thank you so much for joining us here on your home of the Cowboys.
I appreciate you, fellas, man. Y'all have a good one.
Salute. There he goes, Isaiah Standback here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top, but it's a Friday, so it's time for What You Drinking
and What You Thinking
at 877-881-1053. And we're back with your phone calls and what we're drinking here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.